Presumably, this is your first time over here, then, Herb.
That is correct, yes.
How many exactly were there in the Miller family?
There were three boys and a girl, and of course, Mom and Dad.
Mm-hmm. Were you the youngest of them?
No, my sister was younger than I.
Was it a musical family?
Well, starting with my dad, he couldn't carry a tune in a basket, but he had a beautiful voice. Yeah. He would have been a hit today. And my mother played the organ, and Dean played the cornet, Glenn played the trombone, I played the trumpet and trombone and other instruments, and my sister played the piano. So the offspring were musical.
Mm. When did your interest in music start?
At about age 3. I saw Glenn come home with his first trombone. Mm. I just vaguely remember that kid with his arms akimbo and sort of bow legs with knee pants, high socks, coming home with this old brass trombone, no case. And my brother Dean took him in the door and says, "Now I'm going to show you how to play this." And he did. And contrary to any other recollections of anyone, Dean is the one that taught him. Hmm. And Dean taught me too.
Taught you the trombone?
Trumpet.
Trumpet, first
yes,
of all.
Yes, taught me the trumpet. He taught Glenn the trombone.
And when did you first start to play in bands?
When I was in the, I guess I was in the sixth grade. Oh, maybe, no, it was the seventh grade when I started in the bands. Excuse me.
And who were the first musicians that interested you, professional players, I mean?
Well, of course, I was always interested in the guys Glenn was playing with. Mm. In fact, he would send me records of guys he wanted me to hear. And there was one particular trumpet player he kept sending records of him and saying, you listen to this guy because one of these days he's going to be rated as the top guy in the world as a trumpet player. So I continued to listen and try to imitate this fine trumpet player. And it turned out to be Louis Armstrong. Mm. So I guess he called the shot on that.
And eventually you became the road manager for Glenn's band.
That's that correct?
Yeah. What exactly does a road manager do then?
Everything. Well, they make out the payroll, write the checks, book the rooms, book the transportation, see that the equipment manager has all the stage set up correctly, take the tickets at the door one at a time, about every 300, to see that they're not running a false ticket in on you. If there is such a thing, and it did happen one time, I went up to see Glenn and said, here are two tickets that don't fit in this particular group of tickets. And he just stopped the band, walked out the gate, he says, "Give me both the rolls of those tickets and give me a new roll. And this is the only roll that we will honor from now on at the gate." Hmm. And then he had them count the tickets and they had to make an adjustment on it. He was very tough about the money that was coming to him, and righteously so.
Hmm. About what sort of year was this when you were the road manager?
Oh, 39. Gosh, I don't remember. I forget to remember years because they don't mean anything to me. I don't know whether it's 38 or 39.
Mm-hmm. How did you get on with the other guys in the band then?
I got along with them all right. Mm. I liked them. They liked me, I'm sure. I still see Tex once in a while. Say hello. I went out to, 10 years ago, went back to New York City, and Mick McMickle was playing in a little studio band up there. And he was showing off how well he still played. And I see Paul Tanner every once in a while. All the guys, of course, several of them have passed away, Ernie Caceres and Hal McIntyre. I don't know about the rest of them, but they're, Jimmy Pretty is still around. Mm-hmm. Chuck Gentry played in his army band, and Chuck Gentry went to University of Northern Colorado with me. Mm-hmm. So we have a tie there.
Did you ever think that Glenn would be such a big success?
Well, Glenn was my hero. He didn't have to be a success. He was a success.
Mm.
Even just sweating it out with those guys in New York City was tough enough. Just being top dog around there was enough.
Mm.
Of course, he really wasn't the top trombone player, but he was the top arranger around New York City.
Mm.
And that was the top in those days.
Yeah.
This has moved to Las Vegas and to the West Coast to a certain extent. I suppose you could find anything you wanted in New York City now, even.
Hmm. Did you know many of the other band leaders of that time?
Not well. I knew Harry James and, well, who else? Claude Thornhill, Charlie Spivak. I played with Charlie for about, I guess, 10 or 11 months.
Yeah.
That was a real education. Incidentally, Glenn did get me that job.
Mm-hmm.
But he realized one night that I wanted to play trumpet. I was a musician, I wasn't a cash register man.
Mm.
Because that's all he wanted me for as manager, was to take care of the money, see that he wasn't cheated. And I was unhappy at disappointing him at that, but you know, a guy's got to live his own life. And so I quit after about 5 or 6 weeks, went to the hospital, and he got 3 guys to do my job.
Mm.
That's how tough that job was.
With Charlie.
With Glenn.
Yeah, the road manager.
Yes, the road manager's job. Took 3 guys to do it after I quit.
Mm-hmm. Could you say something about Charlie Spivak? Because I know who he is, but I'm not so sure our listeners will.
Well, Charlie is one of the finest trumpet players that ever lived. Beautiful, beautiful, long phrases, beautiful tone, no particular jazz, nothing added, just so pretty. You just can't help but listen to it. He doesn't have to play a lot of notes to get your attention. His tone gets it for him.
Mm.
He's a marvelous trumpet player.
But unfortunately, he wasn't all that successful, was he?
Unfortunately, you know, there are many flowers that, what is it, many flowers that are born to blush and bloom and blush and unseen and waste their fragrance on the desert air. That's Lord Byron, I hope. No, I don't think it is. But there's a line like that, and it's so true.
Mm.
Many, many guys who are really great never make the grade for one reason or another. As a matter of fact, Glenn told me one time, he said, Herb, if I had known what it meant, what I'd have to go through to get this band where it is, I would never have started.
Mm. But you tried your own band once, didn't you?
Yeah, I've tried it several times.
Mm.
I've succeeded to a certain extent. I didn't succeed to getting anywhere. Just before I was drafted into the Army, I had a recording contract with one of the under companies, and I was going to play in Frank Daly's Meadowbrook. But I went home, and Uncle Sam got me, and I've never been back to that point, but I subsequently organized another band in the late 40s and the 50s and 60s, and although it was an amateur band, it would scare you to death. It was so great.
Mm-hmm.
A very precise outfit made of kids who wanted to sit down and learn what it really meant to play Glenn Miller music.
Mm-hmm.
And they did, and I've been asked, was asked many times, where's Glenn? He's got to be around here somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
It was, I've got a recording of it that I made. It cost me quite a bit of money. I'm always grateful that I made that recording, because if they don't call me a musician after that, they don't know what music is.
Hmm. What else have you done besides leading bands then?
Well, I taught school for a while. That's, I decided when my oldest daughter was 6 years old that these kids had to have a place to go to school.
Mm.
And get their education. So they all graduated from the same high school, Pacific Grove, California.
What sort of teaching was it? Every subject? Or?
No, it was very, very fortunate. I have taught music all my life.
Mm. Just music?
Yes. Mm. Thank the Lord for that. I'll tell you, that would have been a catastrophe to have me teaching anything else.
What would you say to someone who wanted to learn to play a musical instrument? Would you say they should have lessons?
Yes. Mm. That's you must have the best of lessons. You must go to a good place to play. You must keep that up. It must be done. You must have the best at all times, because the people who are getting there today have studied with the best people, have gone to the best schools. I'm thinking now of Berklee School of Music. That's in the United States, in Boston. And Eastman School of Music in Rochester, New York. Juilliard, New York City. And let's see, there's one on the west, out in the west. I believe it's West Texas State. Mm-hmm. Now, it might be North Texas State. They have a program where they have a stage band, which is about 20 pieces, that meets every hour of the day from 7 o'clock in the morning till 11 o'clock at night. And if you even get on band number whatever it was, 11 or 12, you're still playing beautifully. And if you're in the first band, Basie's looking for you. Mm-hmm. Stan would have been looking for you if he were living. Mm-hmm. And who's the other guy?
Basie's?
Woody's looking for him. And Louis Belson, those guys are looking for him.
What was your reaction to Glenn's disappearance?
Well, the first I heard of it, I walked in the front door. I was coming home from my army service. I was home for a weekend or something like that. I was coming home at noon. My mother met me at the door and said, Glenn has disappeared. She started to cry, and I says, are you a Christian? You pretend to be. You bend your knees every night for a half an hour by your bed, or an hour sometimes. I said, do you believe that you're a Christian? She says, yes, I do. He says, come in here. Come in the bedroom. I got out my Bible, and I knew the psalm by heart, but I read it to her, the 91st psalm. I said, now, are you still a Christian? She said, yes. I said, then he's taken care of, isn't he? It says so right there. She says, yes. And to my knowledge, she never cried another tear.
Will we be seeing you in Britain again?
I hope forever. I don't really care. I'd rather just stay. I don't want to go home. I'm having a real wonderful time. This is one of the highest points of my life. I don't know. It may turn out to be the very highest point in my life.
Well, thank you very much, Herb. It's been very interesting listening to you.
I have been doing a lot of talking, haven't I?
Yeah, well, that's what it's all about.
Is that what it's all about?
Yes.
Okay, I'll keep it up.
Thank you.
Thank you.